Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at Burrow.com/ACAST.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Cutter Lawler. Welcome back to a week of Weird News Wednesdays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the strangest news stories from around the world. We talk about the news that the real news is just too afraid to talk about. As always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. Would you like to hear something weird that happened to me this week?
No.
Okay, right. On with the show. This is the show.
Improv. Go on.
So I went to the barbers yesterday. I went to my second favourite barbers because my favourite barbers was closed.
I have to admit, can I just be very clear to everyone? If this is your first episode, I now feel self-conscious because we've been on the call for several minutes and I knew you got a haircut and I still didn't mention the fact, wow, nice haircut, which I feel is customary.
No, it's fine, because I got a haircut and a beard trim that makes it look like I need a haircut and a beard trim. Oh, that's the vibe I'm going
good,
for.
Good.
So, went to the second favourite barbers, and I like this barbers fair enough because they don't chat to you while you're in the chair. You can just sit in silence and get your haircut. But then, and this is after maybe 15 to 20 minutes of silence, the dude finishes my beard, puts aftershave on me, slaps my cheeks and said, "Now, you're ready to get back in the game, are you?"
What game? What a way to start this week's weird news.
What are we talking about here?
What does any of it mean? What?
I don't
know. Did
he
have you down as some sort of sports star?
Sports star? Maybe he thought I was a player I wouldn't use the soft A at the end of it, but maybe he thought I was out on the town that night, you know, yesterday being a Tuesday, like.
You know what? That's fucking amazing. That story is so funny because I know for the 15 minutes he was in his head saying, "I gotta come up with something to say to this lad because this is getting more and more awkward as the seconds tick by."
I need some cool line at the end. I also think I broke his razor because he was going away at the sides of my head, and then he hit one of my earrings, and I just heard metal against metal. And I was just like, "Oh, that's dulled. That's dulled now."
He was bull tick.
He was livid with me.
Back in the fucking game, you prick.
But yeah, sorry, that's what I got up to this week, Connor.
I mean, I think, you know what? Stories like that is what makes Weird News interesting. So if this is your first episode of Weird News, we normally just have a bit of a chat. I cover some news stories. Sean hasn't seen the news stories. And so then we all just basically just see what we all feel about things. You know, it's kind of like an introspective thing, really internally, your soul. How are you doing? Have you given to charity recently? Are you a bastard? All questions we cover over this hour
no
long.
No to everything but the last one.
I would say sermon. I'm going to call this a sermon.
A sermon? What the fuck kind of notions do you have?
The episode has changed. I didn't tell you, but I've changed the whole structure of what we're doing.
Wow. Well, in a week you did this and didn't discuss anything.
Put your hand on the screen, Sean.
Yeah,
we're all going to talk together. If you give us a like and subscribe, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, for great anecdotes about Sean's beard and hair trimming.
They are weekly.
What a good video on ASMR, Sean. There's a lad on YouTube, Haircut Harry. I'd give him a watch there now.
Are you an ASMR person?
I like a man watching. I like seeing all the haircuts. So Haircut Harry's vibe. Is this a weird?
All right, no, keep going. Run.
Haircut
with it.
Harry's vibe is he goes around the world. He goes into random barbers and he just goes do whatever you want.
Oh,
and he doesn't have a style.
I like that.
So he went and into a barber's in Cork like 2 months ago. And the lads were unreal, and all the comments were like, these lads are amazing. And I just felt like a pride, even though I didn't do anything, but I was like, the Irish lads, yes.
Yeah, we breed good barbers, honestly.
We didn't fuck it. Mup the bananas.
So wait, how long does he leave it between haircuts? Because he's not giving him much to work with.
But like. No, well, sometimes it can just be shaves as well. Like, he adapts.
Oh, he got a shave.
Yeah.
That's fair. His haircut Harry knows what he's doing.
Shout out to Harry. I have one of his mugs.
Do you?
Speaking of merch, we can have a store, but look, it's not important. You've long tuned out at this point.
And if you're still here, honestly, buy a mug. Like,
honestly,
you're pretty
fair
committed
folks,
at this
you probably already have a mug.
They're good mugs.
We're moving into our first story of the week. And where we're going to start is obviously a very serious topic. Housing crisis, Sean.
And wow.
I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. The housing crisis taking full effect. Nobody can find a house. Nobody can rent a house. You can't get them nowhere, Sean. And if you
you're
can't,
really, you're not
the
selling
sky
the comedy
high.
Of this show, my dude.
They're in the sky high. People are in the streets. They're cold. They're sad, right?
Imagine having to die in a rented house.
Oh, fuck, lads. It's absolutely mad. As a renter myself.
Oh, yes, I pay rent.
But, Sean, maybe I have the solution to one of these problems. Because I have found a house that's on sale for rent that you can move into right now. And there's only just a tiny little bit of a catch in that there's an ad for a flat that you will get basically a bit off the rent because it's above a mortuary. And it says tenants must clean up after the dead bodies as a $10 an hour job. Week on, 1 week off as you live above it.
How is this marketed? Because if they're selling this as like the steal of the century, that's fucked up. But if they're like, surely it's easier to advertise for the job and offer the house as a bonus rather than you can rent this place, but here's the catch.
So I'm just going to read you the ad because this is one of my favourite. You have to get a bit more like, you have to get a bit out of the box to really get people's eye these days because there's so many ads, you know. So the unusual renting listing boasts a master bedroom, Sean, high ceilings, but the lucky tenant is also expected to work shifts in the mortuary downstairs for just over £10 an hour. So like there's lots of things to look out for when you're trying to rent a house, Sean. Bedroom size, natural light, kitchen space, are there dead bodies in your basement or downstairs? Last one will definitely happen when you move in here.
Can I say, just off the bat, I would have no problem living above a mortuary. That's fine. It's the fucking gall of making me work that I don't agree with.
But can I give you maybe a counterpoint? Think of the coal, Sean. The fucking coal. You couldn't turn on that heating. Sure. That'll
cause
rises. A smell.
You're grand. You're not going to heat the bodies. You're heating your own flat. It's going up out of the roof. Think of how good it'll be in the summer. You can just go lie on a freezer for a while.
Yeah, but what about the winter?
The winter, you're lighting, you have the heating in the house. And as we said, heat rises. So it's not going to go down into the things. Also, they're specially designed fridges and freezers for corpses. I'd wager they can handle you turning on the electric for an hour.
I feel like you could be going for this job. Because, I mean, the apartment boasts high ceilings, obviously a master bedroom, is it above the funeral service in Swindon, and will set back the lucky tenant £600 in rent a month. So,
do you know what?
You'll be able to make some of your money.
It's not bad.
You will be able to make some of your money back through a £10.10 per hour job downstairs. The work appears to involve showing doctors to the deceased, conducting mourners on chapel visits, and wiping down the mortuary and fridges. That is not all, however, as you will also be expected to carry out administrative duties. Ad hoc duties, Sean, everyone's favourite.
Ad hoc duties,
like answering phones, vacuuming the carpets, and mowing the lawn.
To be, like, they just want you to become a mortician, but you get access to the house is what happens.
Yes.
Now, yeah, and look, £600 sterling. That is €681 a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And honestly, Connor, that's a pretty sweet deal considering you get a job as well.
Mm. But
week on, week off, you know 40 hours here? A week?
Yeah, do you know what's happening? No, it's week on, week off. So you'll work 1 week, you won't work the next week. But Sean, what's happened here is, I can only assume, the person who ran that mortuary died, right? Ironically, it happens to the best of us, right?
It's hardly ironic, like, everyone's going to fucking die.
Ironic, Sean. The height of irony. So they died, but they lived above it, and that was their job, right? That was just made sense. The issue now is you've got an empty apartment and you really have a very niche area of we need someone to work downstairs, but upstairs is an apartment and we can't really just have a renter come in and just live there.
Could you not though? Like people, if you put that up for £700, people will rent that. That's grand. Like, I don't see what the weird part of living above a mortuary is.
Sean, you're a got though. You're a got at heart.
Maybe that's it. Also, new Fallout Boy dropped today, Connor. Are you excited?
I listened to it. It's pretty good.
I really like it. I like both songs that they put out. Anyway, this is the
Did they release video, the second song? I haven't heard the second one.
They put out one last Wednesday and another one this Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay. I'm going to check that.
It's pretty good. I think you'll like it, Connor. Okay, okay. We're going to do a Fall Out Boy podcast next week.
Also, we haven't touched on the Oscars, but
look, I know where my bread is buttered. It's the emos that I need to market to. And speaking of which, like, apart from the fact, if this was every week that you were a mortician's assistant and you get tenner an hour, I think that, and you get the accommodation for that price, that's a pretty good deal. The week on, week off is what kind of fucks it, in my opinion. Because you're only making, say, 40 hours a week, 400 a week, 2 weeks, 800 a month. And then the rent is 600. So you don't have a lot of spends money, you know?
So you have 200 left over after it's all set.
Yeah.
But you could also have your own job on the other second week.
See, you'd need to organise a job that would also be week on, week off, but on the alternate week.
A separate, maybe a killing job. Maybe you give yourself more work by doing all of your killing 1 week and then all of your body helping the next week.
Have you seen Sweeney Todd?
Yes.
Okay, that makes this a lot easier. What if we open a pie shop right next door?
Interesting.
Do you know without saying too much, but like where we went to college, there's a mortician in the county, there's a mortician's and funeral home / pub that's all in the one. I think there's a crematorium there as well.
That's actually kind of your dream. Like, you want to go from the Guinness to the dead. Take me over.
Look, it's less hassle for everyone involved. I'd say they do one real business, though. Just out of funerals alone. Everyone's always
an Irish funeral. Have you ever been to an Irish funeral, lads? Oh,
into many.
Lads. It's actually hard to describe internationally what an Irish funeral is, other than a giant piss up and then there's a dead body somewhere in the room.
Yeah, like, and if the funeral service is on the Friday.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Saturday and Sunday are a lost cause. Yeah, if it's actually a bank holiday, you may get fucked.
Get a full weekend and a half out of that, lad.
Honestly. Get a full 4 days out of that funeral, boys.
Boys are looking at funerals like a party.
Like, oh, top man. 10 sessions I've ever been at, I think two of them are funerals.
I think internationally, most other places, they just have a sad funeral. But I think it's seen, like, in Ireland, like, if Uncle Tommy dies... Well, it's what Uncle Tommy would have fucking wanted is me to have a few Guinness in his memory.
Honestly, yeah. Uncle Tommy wouldn't want us to be sad and crying.
No. He'd want us to be fucking pissed, to be honest.
He'd want a few cans, He'd want a few cans brought in.
He's always about the crack, was Tommy. So let's drink over the dead body. I stand over him and feed it to him, sure. Why not? Go on, me laugh.
Yeah, and that's why you get the 48 slab of Guinness, you get the 48 slab of Heineken, you get the 48 slab of Bulmers, the cider. And that does you for, you know, the first few hours. And then you go back for a refill.
And Tommy's so proud. He's
Tommy's looking up at you
proud
being like,
punch.
Oh, lads, you did it.
I would have done the same, lads. I would have done the fucking same.
That's either a police car or an ambulance outside, by the way. So I don't know if something has happened to Uncle Tommy.
Tommy!
But we'll find out.
You get a phone call, your Uncle Tommy. You're like, yes!
On the lads. We might just wait till that finishes, because that's going to be on for a bit.
Also, someone commented underneath this article that that's a terrible deal with only £200 left over. Also, you've got to deal with ghosts, so it's even worse, which I don't know holds up to scrutiny.
No, I don't know. Like, the presence of dead bodies does not necessarily indicate
ghosts. But you do have
ghosts.
To clean the place as well.
You're not cleaning the bodies, though. You're just, like, sweeping up the office and out the front and making sure the room is hoovered.
I think it means
that,
like, the fucking... I'm not going to say laboratory. What's the word?
The preparation zone.
The preparation zone.
Yeah, the preparation area, I suppose you'd call it. But I think I'm fairly sure you need some kind of qualification. No, sorry, you definitely need a qualification to be a mortician.
No, you can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Sure, Sean will throw his hand at it there. He'll be fine.
I'm starting to think we needed to be qualified for this, lads. I just brought me chainsaw.
But, like, they're not just letting, you know, the renter upstairs who does some office work and ad hoc duties. They're not just letting them in at the dead bodies and sweeping up blood and viscera shit.
I really thought I was going to get you more freaked out with this story. But Sean, your got ways have overcome it. And I think you've solved it. Now, what if I bring you one of our favourite subjects? One of our favourite areas to go into is Sean Solves. Right?
Oh, okay.
And what we have this week is I don't have a relationship problem per se, which is normally Sean solves all relationship problems.
I have 100% success rate for saving relationships.
But we do have a situation in the relationship. A situationship, if you will.
A situation. What is a situationship, by the way? I keep seeing it thrown around.
I don't know. There's... Okay. Do you remember when you were 11 and on Facebook you'd put "it's complicated" as your relationship status?
Of course. And then your barber wants you to get back in the game is what happens.
Back in the game. You just got to get back in the game. I've always said that to you. After
I've been
you
in
had
a relationship for 8 years.
Get back in the game.
She won't be happy.
It'll be frowned upon, certainly.
No, but my barber told me, get fucked.
I don't think you understand. My second favourite barber told me. Yeah.
I walked in, he called me Big Man.
Well, Big Man, I want to impress him. Sean, we're moving on, because as a man now in a relationship for 8 years, Sean, you're no stranger to the odd little white lie that you may have told when you first got into the relationship. Maybe when you're first getting to know each other, maybe you're pretending to be a better person than you are, but secretly you're a bastard.
Is that what this is?
No, no.
She have said, "Turn off."
I've had a text. No, but Sean, what sometimes happens is the little white lies, they carry on for almost too long.
Oh, like I like olives, but I really don't like olives. Exactly. So you kind of keep having to eat olives.
And then you're in it for too long, and now it's gotten to the point where you can't say you don't or do like that thing.
Okay, I'm with you. I know the situation you're talking about.
So, I've been lying to my husband about our takeaway order for years. Now I'm stuck.
No, not the takeaway order. That's sacred.
So, this mother took to Mum's Net, which is always a fountain of all of these stories.
Love Mum's Net on this podcast.
She took to the internet looking for some much-needed advice, as she's been lying to her husband about the contents of her takeaway order for 12 years and counting, Sean.
Oh, boys.
What started as a little harmless white lie has now just graduated that it's just a full-on conspiracy that she has to keep hidden.
So, like, what is there to lie about on a takeaway order, though?
So, back in the early days of the romance, the pair ordered a Chinese takeaway. The woman opted for the crispy, aromatic duck, at first thinking nothing of her choice. But she quickly realised she'd upset her partner, who had kept ducks as pets in his childhood and didn't like seeing people eat ducks.
Right. Okay.
Wanting to miss out, she started lying every other time, saying that she'd actually ordered pork as her starter and not duck. And she's kept up the pretense ever since. Every single time they've ordered, she's ordered and then said, "This is pork that I got. I love that pork dish."
Oh no, but she hasn't like, you know, said, "Here, honey, try some of this pork," or anything like that, right?
No, so she hasn't done that. But over a decade on, she's even got all of her family in on the lie now, except for their children. So now this is where the problem comes in. She fears she is soon to be rumbled, as the kids are old enough to participate in the family takeaway nights now.
Of course, yeah.
And she's also clarified she never shares the dish with her partner. Which I think now he's just like, fucking selfish bitch. Never gives me a fucking bit of the pork.
I'm going to order my own pork, why not?
Fuck you. She says straight out, he doesn't eat the pork / duck, really duck. So I'm not lying to him about something he consumes. But to avoid unnecessary hurt, I thought it was harmless white lie at the time. She's now said, this has been going on for 12 years. My family are involved. When we order as a group, they all keep up the pretense that it's pork and act like it's pork.
The fact that you got your family involved, that's taking it to another level of a lie. It's like you're actively hiding it now.
So now, Sean, we come to the problem. As such, she's been struggling to decide what to do, and this is where you come in. Do I keep up the lie and tell the children that it's pork? As if to tell them the truth, one of them will definitely blab to the father.
100% they will lie. Do I tell them to their father?
Do I keep up the lie with the kids, or do I just tell them the truth and let them in on it, hoping that they will keep it away from him?
Okay, look, if you want the morally correct answer, like in every like advice would give this, yeah, tell the truth. It's gonna suck, but if you've been together 12 years and have kids, I would hope this isn't the breaking point.
What a tangled web of lies.
This is the thing. If you start lying, Connor, like, it'll get all knotted up together.
She's not
it'll
get all Sean, confused. Continue.
So,
you're back in the game.
So, option two.
Interesting.
Is, option two would be go vegetarian.
Oh.
Right?
Now, you could just change your dish.
This is, yeah, I don't know why that hasn't come into her head at all.
She just loves that one I was going to say
the
dork dish. Duck and pork.
Bit of a dork
duck
dish myself.
She loves that one duck dish so much she's ordered the same starter for 12 years straight.
Yeah, that's a little bit, like, mix it up a little bit, you know, just every so often. What you could do, is be like, oh, I'm gone off quote-unquote pork for a bit, switch to another dish, then switch, say, oh, I'm going to go back to pork, and then actually order pork, and then, you know, there's that little in-between bit where he won't realise that the dish looks entirely different.
Interesting. Oh, that's good.
And then look, you lied to him for 12 years, but you're not lying anymore.
And then perhaps maybe, like, move country, change your name, maybe get a new passport. Maybe just abandon your whole old life altogether, because I don't think it's worth after this white lie.
After that first initial instance where he was like, oh, I had ducks as pets, that makes me uncomfortable. Did ducks ever come up again in the relationship?
Never.
Like,
never
could again. After 12 years, could you broach the subject?
I like the idea that she went hard the opposite way. Like, I fucking hate people who eat ducks, man. I actually, it makes me
sick. Actively campaigned against it. Oh, jeez, like
I'm
that.
Right there with you. I'm right there with you that I hate them.
Like, I went vegetarian at the new year, still sticking with it for what it's worth. But,
good man yourself.
But I will say, duck is the shittest meat there is. Okay? Because don't get me wrong, animals are delicious. But duck is just, it's fatty and gamey all at once. Oh, I don't care for it, Connor. I don't like it at all.
You always have such strong opinions on such stupid shit.
I know. I've been blessed.
What's your go-to meat?
Go-to meat? Like, it's a boring choice, but the versatility of chicken can't be understated, I feel.
But what about the salmonella, though? That's a real issue.
This is the thing. Prepping chicken on your own?
Yeah.
I'm a wreck. I wash my hands every 40 seconds. It's ridiculous. But also, I don't trust if beef is pink, you're a man who likes beef.
Yeah.
Like, it can be pink and that's fine, but I just can't get my head past that.
No, I'm all for a rare steak.
Yeah, this is the thing. And like, I stopped ordering steak in restaurants because they'd look at me funny because I would say cremate it.
Oh no, because you do it the Irish way.
Yeah, yeah. The only way to do it, as far as I'm concerned.
Take all the fucking flavour out of it by bird it.
And all the veg on the plate, undercook that, please.
Undercook that, make it hard, and fucking boil the shite out of that steak.
Yeah, just I want that carrot to just fucking look at some boiling water. That's all.
We have rare vegetables and burnt meat.
As God intended, alright?
I mean, you gotta go with beef, yeah. I think beef is a bit... Also, this story reminds me of my dad, who, for as long as I've known him, which is technically all of my life, that he, every time we've ever ordered Chinese food, or any, basically any takeaway, he orders the same dish from each takeaway, right?
Mm-hmm.
But from the Chinese in town, he will always order beef in black bean sauce, right? No matter what happens, always, every single time. Where it gets me is that every single time we go to that restaurant to sit down, he will pick up the fucking menu and he will scan it like he's looking for a new dish.
Now, absolutely.
I'm like, it's a waste of fucking time. He will scan it like it's the first time he's seen the whole menu and he's just happened upon beef and black bean sauce, even though we both know when we've walked in through that door, there's only one way this is going. And I just don't understand it.
Like, the idea, you pulling them aside, like, at the start of a match or something, and just being like, listen, Dad, we both know how this is going to go.
Listen, genuinely, let's not waste time, right?
Just tell her when you come in.
Don't even wait to sit down. Just tell her you want beef and black bean sauce.
What's your go-to takeaway order, then, from, say, a Chinese?
I don't have one, to be honest.
Do you mix it up every time?
I'm a lunatic who doesn't check the menu and just picks something random.
My God.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. And do you check a menu before you go somewhere?
Yeah. Every time I go somewhere new, I check the menu. I also look at reviews on Google so I can look up the layout of the restaurant.
I'm like such the opposite. I'm like, freewheeling. Let's go. I'm going to walk in. Don't know where anything is. Sit down. What's in the menu? Don't know. I'll have that yolk. Haven't heard of it before. Let's see what it's like.
No, it's that look, and that's on all kinds of things that go on in my head. But
I'd be a fan of an udon noodle, though, myself.
No, I like an udon noodle. I like the chew that it gives.
I like This is, we're going to start a food podcast of the world's like shittest food. Because like, as Irish people, we don't understand food, so we're like, yeah, that's pretty good. See that boiled fucking carrot? Bites.
Yeah, unreal. Just anything slightly above bare minimum. We're like, this is the best joke ever.
Irish people are like that. Any international food whatsoever, like, we're like, this is the nicest, greatest invention of all time, because it's not just boiled ham and boiled cabbage.
And for anyone, any international listeners out there, I just want everyone to know that the most popular dish you can get from a Chinese takeaway in Ireland is called a spice bag, which is not Chinese in the slightest.
No,
it's
not
authentic at all. We invented it. It's a load of salt and chili and a little bit of veg mixed in with a load of chips and sometimes some chicken, depending on the order that you get. It's great. It's class. Bit of curry sauce on there. Also not real curry. But it's not what I would call
the only thing in
Chinese
the whole
cuisine.
Dish is that is what it says it is the chips.
Yeah, that,
everything
that's
else
the only
is just made
truth.
Up.
Everything else is just marketing.
That's how little we know as a nation about food. But Sean, we got to move on. Actually, no, sorry, we didn't solve the problem. What is she to do?
Okay, don't get the kids involved. They'll only ruin it. Don't tell them the truth. It's gone too far. I would, here's, and this is genuinely, legitimately what I would do, is I would release a load of rats into the restaurant and then call the health inspector, get them shut down, you have to find a new place. Then you say, ooh, I just can't imagine pork anymore, and just switch to chicken. Solved!
Another one off the list, thank you very much, and we're moving on. Sean, is one of my favourite headlines I think we've ever covered, ever in the history of the show. Also, I will say, no animals were harmed or killed in the process of making this headline. Sean, raccoon found frozen to railway track by testicles.
Oh, we've all been there, haven't we, fellas?
You think you've had a bad day.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you see a lad stuck to a railway track by his testicles.
No, not a lad, a raccoon. A gentle, innocent raccoon.
A poor raccoon. A railway worker had to intervene to help out a poor raccoon that had found himself in a compromising position with his testicles stuck to a frozen railway line during the week. The raccoon looks pretty sheepish, about the mess that he found himself in as he's walked in the pod and cannot move, stuck on the railway track awaiting death, I can only assume.
Yeah, because that train, look, John, Johnny Cash told me he can hear the train a-coming.
Yeah.
And presumably the raccoon can feel it in his balls at this point.
Oh, he can feel it.
It's the gentle rumble.
I mean, I think the question now becomes, is there a worse way to die?
Than balls frozen to a railroad track.
Waiting for the train.
And just knowing that it's coming. See, I think Look, as a raccoon, you don't have the problem-solving skills needed to get through it. But I think if I was stuck to a railroad track by my balls, first of all, how did I get in that situation?
Well, that's what happens when you get back in the game, Sean. That's what that could happen. You know what I mean?
I went out once and this happened to me.
They said it was fun.
Because it's like, have you stuck your gotten your tongue stuck to anything cold in the past?
You know what? I haven't, but I know with every fibre of my being that you have at least twice.
Fuck's sake. Okay. Yeah. One was I genuinely got my tongue stuck to a pole one time, and then I got it stuck to an ice pop. And I pulled the ice pop so hard away that I bled from my tongue. Was not fun, but I've learned some things about attaching things to cold things.
Sometimes you can look at someone and know they've got their tongue stuck to a pole.
It's easy happen, you know. And
yeah.
Everyone who does, every person who's ever gotten their tongue stuck to a pole has, that situation has started with the thought, surely this can't be real.
Yeah, because it's the idea of, well, I'm built different, so it won't happen to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you know, like, I have that. I don't know. Look, I do have the built different mentality in a lot of these situations that you bring
and
up.
And you're barely built. I think it's different.
Hey, look, Connor, I'm getting my knee put back together at the physio at the minute. So once that's done, I am peak human.
You're going for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's my one nerf and I'm getting rid of it.
That was the one thing holding you back, was your knee that was twisted all the way around. But now once it's healed, I mean, I can only assume you'll be unstoppable.
My bobsled career is fucking taken off. Like, now that I have my knee. Oh, wow.
I liked it. You were like, Connor, will you join my bobsled team? I'm like, I just looked down at your knee, looked back at you. No. No, thanks.
Oh, shit. Then I cross off number one and two on my list of people to ask to be on the bobsled
team. You and the fucking second barber.
It's like a game. We can get back into it.
We're back in the game. Was he stroking your face? Like, was he caressing it when he said it?
No, it was more of the little pat on the face that they give.
Like a father son, like, get back out there, kid.
Well, it was both cheeks at the same time.
Oh, that's kind of intimate.
And it was from behind as well. It wasn't like he was looking at me when he said it.
He's not looking directly into your eyes, nose to nose. Oh, just you taps couldn't. Two cheeks.
Just pulls me closer.
Back in the game, son.
He was trying to go out that night. He was looking for someone to go on the town with.
I need a wingman. Are you in? Sean, this raccoon, I feel like, by the way, the helpers saved him, got him off the tracks, and he ran straight into the woods nearby, completely no problem at all. So was not harmed, but I'm assuming quite sore.
He would be tender.
They had
after.
To pour warm water under his arse while a co-worker worked a shovel underneath him to try and break him loose.
A shovel? They put a shovel in, and the scale difference I wouldn't care for that at all.
Would that be cold as well? The shovel wouldn't be fucking warm itself.
No, they hardly warmed up the shovel like before they started jabbing away.
Pre-warmed
shovel. I guess it's better than like a hammer and chisel to get him off, but Jesus.
Apparently it was minus 12 degrees outside. And he was crossing over the rail and he sat too long on it and got stuck. Is there a guess?
Why is he sitting on the rail? Like, you should know.
That's
better
the thing.
Than that.
I think maybe he had a bit of a debt warrant. Maybe he was out. Like he wasn't. I don't know. He was thinking, will I go or will I stay? The trains are coming. I can hear them rolling round the bend.
That old Johnny Cash / The Clash collaboration.
Johnny Clash. Yeah.
Johnny Clash, as it's called now. But I would wager, right? And if someone wants to get hit by a train, I'd wager they're not freezing their balls to it first. And I think that goes for raccoons as well as humans, to be honest.
That's a universal thing.
It's a universal thing. It's built in. It's nature. You know, it's just, it comes with the territory.
Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And this is one that creeped me out and I felt you needed to know.
Okay.
Radio signals detected on Earth from galaxy 9 billion light years away. Sean, we're not alone.
But radio signals could mean anything. Emit radio waves. Normally.
Shh, quiet now, okay. My sweet prince. Scientists have captured a specific type of radio signal from a galaxy almost 9 billion light years away from the Earth. It wasn't sent by aliens, but it was emitted from a star-creating galaxy named... Oh, that's a lot of numbers and letters. Would you like to know the full star name?
Yes, please, Connor.
Without any hesitation. SDSSIO826+5630.
826.
There's no way you remembered all that.
5630. This is bringing me up to an ABS brake hose.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Do you know what? $3.95. That's a good deal. Connor, sorry. The search for that star did bring me to a New Holland 5630 CRDI with silage machine video on YouTube.
Ah,
now,
yeah.
We often wander into the realm of farming machinery.
Sean, what kind of farm machinery is that?
It'd be a tractor.
Yeah.
With a 75 horsepower engine, my friend.
Ooh.
Also pulling a silage machine for cutting silage.
And it's going 75 weight on the back.
That's the strength of the engine. I don't know the top speed
fucking
now.
Fucking hell.
But it's... She's a nice piece of kit, all right.
Is there any YouTube videos that perhaps we could watch while on live on this episode? Or what's the story?
Let me just have a look. I can certainly look for New Holland 5630. I might not get it with the silage cutter, but... Jesus,
but
I only want it
with the silage cover. I'm sorry, Sean. I cannot stress enough.
Well, modified tractor world has put decorative lighting on his New Holland 5630.
Yes, it's got an
LED fucking billboard light on the front of it that plays different
what
messages.
Does it say?
I don't know. I think it's in Indian, but I don't read that.
Did he go to Pimp My Ride? Pimp My Silage Tractor.
He's pimped his tractor. He really. Oh, I think there's a subwoofer on the back of it. Every time we stumble across farming machinery, we get the most batshit insane YouTube community.
It's a world we don't know anything about, but my God, do I want to know more.
He's got strobe lighting underneath it, so at night it flashes.
Yeah, but sure, how are you going to know what silage you're cutting? Wait, what silage you're doing? Unless you have the fucking strobe lights underneath you, so you know how good of a job you're doing.
That is true. That is true. You need to see all the silage that you are cutting. All of these comments are not in English, so I am useless in terms of finding a funny comment. Sorry to again distract with obscure farming machinery YouTube videos.
Yeah, but I feel like that got voted, like, I think our fifth top 10 weird news story of 2022. So clearly people don't give a shit actually about what we talk about in the news. They just want to hear us talk about farming equipment.
What else do we have? 3 months ago we got a YouTube short about the 5630.
a YouTube short, they say. No,
it's not customised, so you just have your standard lighting and wheel layout.
But now that I've seen what they can do with it, what's the point of going back to the basic bitch model?
You couldn't. You simply couldn't after experiencing
I simply
the
wouldn't,
highlight.
Sean.
Look, and then there's a whole like how it's made episode about New Holland tractors, but I won't bore you with the details. You're all about results, Connor. It cuts a load of silage really quickly.
How much?
For a New Holland 5630. Like brand new from manufacturer.
No, like I'm in the market. I'm in the market to buy one now for my farm.
Okay. Let me just have here. Got to find a dealer, first of all, of course.
Well, if you can find one, you'll save me a lot of time, Sean. I've been looking on Facebook Marketplace non-stop looking for a silage tractor.
Again, I pressed find a dealer, brought me straight to India. So I don't know.
The shipping on that cost us a fucking fortune, though, lad. I can't be doing that.
I can't be dealing with it. No, I think it's an Indian-only model. and so I don't know if I can actually procure you one, Connor.
Just get me one for my birthday, please.
I will. I will, of course.
Yeah,
I will,
right,
of course.
Good. Thanks very much. Sean,
oh, wait, one sec. Oh, what's a LAK? On. LAKH. What does that mean? For LAK, LAKH, currency. No one finds this funny but me, okay? I'm aware of that. But I just need to know.
LAK.
So it's rupees? I think it's rupees.
Is it rupees?
Oh, it's 100,000 rupees is 1 LAK. So this is 1,400,000 rupees.
Should I have that I have that probably in a pocket somewhere, or like, I don't know.
We've got that mug money from everyone ordering mugs earlier.
Riddled with mugs, selling mug. We're going to have to sell a few more mugs. If you're listening to this, buy a mug, and you can help me achieve my dream of buying this tractor I just learned about. It's always been my lifelong dream.
Look, famously. And then 14 million rupees in euros. And that's 157,000? Does that sound right for a tractor?
Fucking achievable, lads. It's
fucking doable. It is fucking doable. I have a tractor license.
Do you?
Yeah, you do as well if you have a driving license.
Yeah.
Everyone in Ireland, you do your standard car test, you also get a tractor license out of it.
And they give you a free tractor if you pass.
Well, that's pretty good, actually. 150
That's actually
grand.
A pretty good deal.
Well, that's for the New Holland, of course. Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece. I've forgotten about the space fucking galaxy thing because, Sean, I thought this news story was going to really get you.
Oh, really? Board. Are we just bypassing that? I'm so sorry if anyone cares.
Just bypassing it, right? No, you've ruined it with your tractor talk, right?
Have I, though? Because have I instantly gotten the number one weird news story of 2023? I'm putting it in the mix already.
Petfish commits credit card fraud on order using a Nintendo Switch.
I hate the future. That shouldn't be a headline. Explain, please.
So the crime was caught on video during an unsupervised live stream. Hundreds of viewers watched as the little fish stole their owner's identity while he was gone.
That's hilarious. Okay, so there was a thing a while ago. Do you remember Twitch Plays Pokemon? Where the chat would like send commands and they would play through Pokemon Red. Someone did Fish Plays Pokemon.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And wherever the fish swam in the tank, oh my god! And it,
yeah. So to understand, right, the entire heist started as an experiment. So to see if fish could complete Pokemon Scarlet and Violet unassisted. So to do this, a Japanese YouTuber set up a webcam focused on his fishbowl. Motion tracking software monitored the fish as they swam across an overlaid grid populated with controller inputs.
Yes.
So wherever the fish swam, a move would take place in the game, right? If a fish paused or changed direction, the correlating controller input registered in the game. So he would swim one place, press a button, move over, swim another place. And they wanted to see if given an infinite amount of time, could a fish complete the video game.
It's the new Monkeys on Typewriters scenario.
Yeah. So he's actually done this experiment before. In 2020, his fish successfully completed the test, finishing Pokemon Sapphire in about 3,195 hours.
What's that in days? That would be 133 days. Honestly?
That's pretty
not
good for
bad.
A fish.
Pretty good for a fish, like.
Something an actively playing human could do in around 30. However, this time around, things did not go quite as planned. The identity theft occurred while he was away from the YouTube livestream. The game went swimmingly, with the fish winning several battles just by swimming.
He was fighting grass-type Pokemon. I don't know if they're weak to water. I don't know what the strengths are.
At the 1,144-hour mark, the game crashed, as games sometimes do, you will. But without the YouTuber present to fix the situation, the system continued registering inputs from the fish, even though the game was no longer running.
So this was just on like the home screen of the Nintendo Switch, which presumably can access the account details, I'm thinking?
Yes.
Right.
Eventually, after another few hours, the pesky little critters got the Nintendo eShop to come up twice and entirely by chance registered the correct sequence of inputs to add 500 yen to his account from his credit card that was saved on the Switch. They also exposed his credit card information to everyone watching.
Which presumably was a lot of people because this was quite a popular thing.
Yeah, then the scoundrels managed to use some of his accumulated reward points to purchase a new avatar, download the N64 emulator, get PayPal to send him a setup confirmation email, and change his Nintendo account name to Ro-Wa-Wa-Wa-Wa. The fish free-for-all went on for 7 hours in total before he finally came back and managed to power down the Switch.
And what do you think he was like when he got in? Because presumably he got like texts or notifications that this was happening.
You've basically you've been exposed by your fish. Now everyone knows your credit card details.
Doxed you, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just gets in, closes the switch, shuts off the live stream, and just puts his head in his hands for a minute.
Now, luckily, he actually wasn't cost that much. So 500 yen is only like $5. Yeah. But It's the fact that his credit card information was then revealed to everyone. And so now he's had to cancel his credit card and he's had to start again. And Nintendo gave him back the $5.
Oh, wow. How good of them.
Which is so nice of that multi-trillion dollar company. But Sean, how do you feel about the fish doxing this man? And perhaps we maybe have to take a long, hard look at ourselves. That why are people watching a fish play a video game? But then again, it's a bit of crack, is it not?
It is a bit of crack indeed. So look, the fish genuinely didn't know what it was doing. I can guarantee that.
You're his liar.
Can say that with absolute certainty, Your Honour, that this fish did not intend to commit credit card fraud.
It's a fucking fish.
It's fucking fish. Like, come on, what are we doing here? The fish is in like a little suit and tie wrapped around the bowl.
And even if he did want to commit the crime, he would have forgotten really quickly afterwards.
That's true. You cannot be convicted of a crime that you don't remember, Your Honour. I think you'll find. And then in terms of why people are watching it, like, I don't think anyone's watching it for 12 hours a day.
No.
I think it's like you'll drop in for maybe 5 minutes, see what the fish is doing, and then go back. When Twitch played Pokemon, when that was a thing, it got like people had lore built up around it. There was a cult built up around the Helix fossil, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
It was a whole thing that the chat just worshipped this Helix fossil. And then people started dying and people got really attached.
Also, there's a whole thing where they will let the people in the comments decide what they're going to do at all given times. So, like,
yeah,
isn't the thing of like all the comments, is it just however many comments, whatever wins?
Yeah, so the way the comment one worked is that it would like poll the comments over like a 20-second interval. The most popular thing that was said is the move that would be made. So if 40% of people typed up and 60% of people typed down, the character would move down, is what would happen.
Right, okay.
But hundreds of thousands of people were watching this at the time.
Because then you're all involved, you're all playing the game at the same time.
Exactly. But there was also communities that set themselves up that were large enough that wanted to disrupt the vote and would I remember there was a big thing about like they wanted to just get to the quit button. And if they could quit, then they could in theory start a new game and just wipe all the existing progress. Which is pure shithousery, but the organization involved I can appreciate.
There's always a hater, Sean. There's always a hater somewhere trying to bring down the crack.
Indeed. Not in our community, of course.
No, actually, everyone's very nice, although they all say really bad things about you, but mostly lovely things about the show.
Like, look, Connor, I'm back in the game here, so.
I don't know if you heard, but I'm back in the game.
Would you play Pokemon, like, with people watching, or do you like playing it on your own? Because I could not play, I'm shit at Pokemon, so I would not want people watching me.
How are you shit at Pokemon? You can't be shit at Pokemon.
I don't remember anything that's good. Like, I don't know how. I know how battles work, and I know it's rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
But I don't remember, like, ground is weak to flying or some shit. I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
I just brutalize Pokemon until it is.
Sean,
it?
Just to let you know.
Erosion, yeah. Of course. Yes.
But I tell you something now, do not use a lightning on a ground or stone Pokemon. You're at nothing. It's not really going to conduct. Yeah, it's super, like, least effective.
What can I use lightning on then? Water?
Bird. Any flying Pokemon, you'll fuck them up with a bit of lightning.
I can just shock a bird out of the sky.
Just shock a bird into death, yeah.
Right, okay. Right, well, get ready for Heroes for Hire plays Pokemon.
I think you should play because you don't know anything.
I think that would be horrendous. I think everyone would hate that.
Because I've played those games too much that I would just be like, okay, I could just figure it out. That's the system. Okay, let's do this. But
yeah.
You're coming in fresh. I would like to see you play Pokemon Emerald and see what you come up with.
See, I've played Red back in the day. I played Leaf Green. I played Diamond. And then I watched someone play Sun and Moon. But that, like, but again, none of, like, head empty. None of it went in. Yeah. None of it stuck.
It's very similar to, like, yeah, but you are, like, it's very similar to other games that you just pick out strengths and weaknesses. There's different classes that do better against other classes. You'll pick it up pretty quickly.
Okay. Can can I get one Pokemon and make him really strong to the point that he demolishes everything regardless?
Yes. Actually, I've done that. I have done that. That's a strategy.
That's a legitimate strategy.
That is a legitimate strategy. It will take you a million years to perfect, but that is a legitimate strategy.
Infinite content, my friend.
Like, you could just take one character and just make him unbeatable, and then you just have everybody else shit. But the problem is, if he dies, then you're kind of at nothing.
You are in a bad way, actually, at that point, are you? I do the one where if your Pokemon faints, they die. I think that's a fun way to play it.
That's... Whoa. Fun. I don't know if that's fun now, Sean. That's stressful.
Connor, the real world. People die and have to go to a mortuary.
But they just fade, Sean. They don't die. If anyone's actually played the game, you just fade. It says they fade.
He's going to faint and I'm going to release him, is what's going to happen. He's dead to me.
He's going to faint and I'm going to slice his neck so he never comes back.
Going to feed him to my other Pokemon. Leafeon, I know you're a vegetarian, but eat him. Eat this Charizard.
Just crying.
Just shoveling the food into his face.
Sean, we're finishing off with Florida man injured when falling iguana smacks him in the face during yoga class.
Of course it did. Why? Why was he at a yoga class? Why is the iguana above him?
A Florida man was left bleeding and bruised after an iguana fell on his face during a yoga class last Saturday in Miami. Instructor Anna Margaret Sanchez was teaching a free community class at Miami's Legion Park in the city's Upper East Side neighbourhood, Sean.
A lot of information there.
It's a lot of information for a place I don't know. Sanchez told the Miami New Times that their class was held on a really beautiful day. They conducted their normal exercise for about 47 minutes, Sean, but the class was cut short when two iguanas, who onlookers say were likely having a territorial dispute in the oak trees above, started to create a ruckus.
They're really painting a picture as well, like the oak trees, the beautiful day that it was. Yeah. I love this.
Amid their fight, one of the lizards either fell or was pushed.
We're not suspecting foul play at the minute, but we're taking a look.
Pushed straight into one of the yogis below. Are they called yogis?
A practitioner of yoga would be a yogi, I believe.
They're like guys, a picnic basket. Guys, I think we're going to have to close the class, Sanchez was recorded saying during the live stream. I'm going to take care of someone who just got an iguana dropped on his face.
That's no reason to finish the class, though, surely.
Finish the class.
How dangerous is an iguana if he touches you?
The injured man was identified only as Michael. Of course it would happen to a Michael. Due to the possibly embarrassing nature of the incident, the man told the news that he didn't want to be known as the guy whose face was used as an iguana landing pad. He apparently was bleeding from his nose with a suspected and a broken lip.
How heavy is an iguana? What force did this iguana hit him? It does sound like the iguana was pushed, I'll be honest.
It sounds like he fucking drop kicked him.
Sounds like he was fucking swung around by the tail and into his face.
The man said, I didn't see it coming. It felt like a sandbag hit me in the face while I was doing a stretch.
I don't understand how it did that much damage. How high was the tree, I suppose?
But see, the Florida man... Things just happen. This would not happen anywhere else in the world, Sean. But only Florida man, when he tries to have a normal day of yoga, would get attacked by an iguana to make the rage grow even stronger. Ultimately, he'll probably commit bigger crimes because the world has cheated him.
But the yoga will help balance out the rage, surely. It's a very relaxing activity.
Now he's terrified of yoga, though.
He's lost his one outlet, of course.
Lost his one outlet, yes. The first thing that went through my head was it must have been a coconut, but there was no coconut trees around. And then I thought, maybe the guy next to me had punched me in the face. But I mean,
the options in his head.
Because you would never think an iguana has punched me.
That's not option one. If it is, there's an issue, like.
But I mean, we're in a yoga class and it's so calm and peaceful. Why would that guy just hit me all of a sudden, Michael said?
I don't have an answer. So an adult male iguana weighs 4 kilograms.
So apparently it's 20 to 30 pounds.
So what's that in kilograms?
4 kilograms?
In not in euro, in kg. Oh, that's 14 kilograms. Florida
iguanas
are built different. That's an alligator you got hit with, my friend.
So, it was likely weighed between 20 and 30 pounds and fell from a branch that was around 25 feet in the air. So 30 pounds dropping 25 feet onto this man equals Florida man, big concussion from iguana.
Yeah, because look, there is, you can work out how hard it hit him. But we're not going to. But it was very hard because it was fast and heavy. Correct? Science?
the math says it was fucking quick. That's what it was. It was quick and jizz that it fucking hurt.
That's force is mass times acceleration. So, going back to my physics in school here. Look, no one cares.
So, do you remember that time you tried to work out hydrogen in a balloon?
Yeah, people are still on at me about that, about how I'm shit at maths. I just can't think laterally or at two things at the same time. It doesn't work for me.
Or at one thing at the one time.
Shut up. So gravity is 9.8 metres a second. 25 feet is how many metres? Yeah, I'm going to say 7.62 just off the top of my head. So... 7.62, so the speed, fuck, oh, I'm having a panic attack, so that's 74 is what that gives me.
You're back in the game, Sean.
You're
back in the game.
Times, and then the mass is, what do we say, like 15 kilos? I'm getting 1,001 newtons of force. I don't know if that's correct.
Oh, that really clears it up. Oh, good.
Look, I tried my best, guys. I'm really sorry. Have you ever been hit in the face by any animals?
No. No, I haven't. Okay, not that enough. I know of. But you know what, Sean?
Yeah.
Have you ever been hit in the face by any animals?
Bird flew into my face once, but that's about it. Like, nothing shocking, you know? Pigeon. Yeah. Pigeon did it.
Yeah. And was it, do you think it was a hit and run? Do you think it was like a planned attack or was it just accidental?
Well, no, Chicken Run is a movie, but maybe we could do something like that. Pigeon Run. I don't think the pigeon sought me out. I think I got in his way while he was going from A to
B. But you do have the look of a man who'd hate a pigeon. You look a bit pigeon racist, and I feel like you might have that edge about you.
I'd class them with ducks in terms of versatility and deliciousness, in that both are shit.
Exactly, that's what I mean. Generalisations that they're all bad.
Just broad strokes against all birds.
This is for my brother, dickhead.
Tell your friends
not to come round here no more. Sean, I think that's it for this week's weird news.
What a week. Sorry, I went off the rails there doing maths.
What can you do? You gotta have weeks like that, you know what I mean? Sometimes we get loads of stories, sometimes Sean just has a monster beforehand and then just wants to have a few anecdotes.
It's better than Hero Zero the other day where I had a monster during and completely lost the run.
But you have
myself.
To be, but Sean, to be fair, you are back in the game. So
I am back in the game, that is true. Yeah.
So
the
go.
Podcasting game. Would you like me
Certainly
to take
not
us
the
out?
Podcasting game. Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Weird News. We will be back on Friday with Hero or Zero. Monday with Movie Mondays. Probably talking about Oscars and things, I would say.
Probably.
Next Wednesday, then, with another episode of Weird News Tractor Talk. That's right, I'm bringing it back again. If you want to support us, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/heroesforhirepodcast. Link to that is in the description. And shout outs go to all of the lovely people that help to support our nonsense. Roisin the Wife Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson. Ryan will be on the New Hollands now after that discussion. Fun facts with waffles. Did you know that the kiwi lays the largest egg in ratio to its body of any bird? Kiwi is the best bird, actually. I've decided that after parrots. David Clark.
So not the best bird.
Well, second best bird. That's still pretty good. It's like a second best barber back in the game. David Clark. Sean, chuck it in the wash and it'll be Grant Jamieson. Dominic. Anna Irish Walrus Forever Kilmroos. Danny McLaughlin. No one's ever really gone Luke Hoth. Lord Smish. Michelle Brown. Michaela Doughty. Buster. Ed Ball. The Adventures of Indiana Jones and the Franchise That Just Won't Die. Connor and Lorraine had completely forgot to shorten their long nickname until catching up on the podcast recently. Russ, character limit be damned. It was just a temporary setback in this whole naming malarkey, but I'm still just Russ, Parfit, and Jackson Bruheim. Thank you all. Thank you all very, very much for your continued support of the show. Head on over to Patreon if you want to get access to our movie reviews and things like that that we put up over there. You can also support us by going to the merch store, heresforhire.ie/shop. Someone mentioned buying a mug earlier. That'd be a pretty good idea.
That'd be neat.
Twitter is at heresforhirepod, the four is the number four. Facebook is Detective Divilment's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And we're back in the game. We'll see you all next
week. Back in the game. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.